If we will be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start in verse 4. The older I get, the more I see how amazing and how different the human is from the rest of God's creation, simply because of our ability to think and to take concepts and take words and take language and take ideas and break them down and analyze them and to believe them, and to take other ideas and to like analyze it and criticize it and expose it. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so if we turn to Acts chapter 18 and verse 4, in 2 Corinthians 10, going back to say, or 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, that word imagination is literally reasonings and ideas that exalt itself against God. And so our warfare is not carnal, of course, but it is spiritual, because we are fighting against different ideologies and different beliefs and thoughts. And so in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 4, you see Paul. It says, "And he reasoned," this is talking about Paul, actually starting in verse 3. "And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for their both occupation, their tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." And so what's happening here is Paul is going to the different synagogues because his mission is to go to the different places and to convince them and to teach them that they are no longer under Judaism, but now under the law of Christ. And whether they don't know or whether they just simply don't believe, they are still non-believing. And he is simply reasoning, and the word reasoning or debating, which there's a big misconception about debating, which I was privileged to go to a debate a couple of weeks ago. And some of the people there, they thought that we shouldn't, or not just weren't there, but they thought that we shouldn't be debating because we're brothers in Christ and we need to not fight each other or whatever. But simply debating and reasoning is used differently in the Bible. But what the reasoning that Paul is doing is a dialogue or arguments of logical ideas and statements that are contrary to one another, typically between two people. And so simply, there doesn't need to be any fighting or any like, they don't have to hate anybody to debate. It is simply reasoning different ideas. And reasoning you do differently is like in when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees or the scribes, and they reasoned together because they needed to get an answer, and they didn't know what to say to him because he got them tripped up. But that's a different reasoning. They were reasoning together as a common goal. This reasoning is different. There are two different ideologies and two systems of beliefs, and they are trying to hash them out to see which one is true. Sure. And so, but there's a difference between reasoning inside and outside the church. And so if you turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 2, we're going to see what Paul is doing. It's caught my eye. It says, let's start in verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." And so here, Paul is going into the synagogue with the intent to reason. And I feel like, or the Bible says, as we are as Christian advocates of God, do we go somewhere with the intent to reason? Do we say things with the intent to reason? Do we start conversations with the intent to reason spiritually? And it says here that he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And so a big thing, which a lot of people go off, where people go off in the Scriptures is they say, "Well, I feel."
Right.
And so when we reason with people, we should reason with them through the Scriptures. Right? And so why is reasoning so important? Because it is necessary. Reasoning is necessary to bring people to Christ. And so to take somebody that doesn't know that they're lost or that doesn't know how to be saved to knowing how to be saved takes reasoning. So it's just simply to get someone out of going to their eternal condemnation to being with God takes reasoning. And so that is why it is important for each and every one of us to know how to reason. And so the Bible states how to reason, which right here is 17 verses 2. It said he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And then this is further explained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you would turn there. starting at verse 1. He's talking to the same people that he was talking to in this church of Thessalonica, which is in verse 17. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile." And so we see here the words deceit, uncleanness, and guile, that their exhortation was not that. And so without deceit, meaning it is true, that it is free from error. So what they said to them had no error in it. And it was nor of uncleanness, that means it was moral, and nor in guile, that means that they were sincere in what they were trying to do. And so when we are going out and we are trying to convince and reason people, we need to make sure, before we do that, we need to make sure that what we're saying is free from error, is moral in nature, and it is sincere.
Right.
If you continue on, verse 4, it says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, and you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you." And so as you see here in verse 4 through 6, they didn't try to appease the crowd. They didn't try to use words and statements that will draw the crowd and go far away from the truth. So they stay with the truth, they stay with morality, and they stay with sincerity, regardless of what they thought or regardless of what they felt.
Right.
And so in verse 7, it says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us." And so here, in verse 7 and 8, not only did they give him the gospel, but he said that they were gentle to them as a nurse cherishes her children. And in the bottom of verse 8, it says, "But they also offered their own souls because you are dear to them." So see, Paul here had a relationship with them, and he gave him himself as well. And he didn't just tell them and just left them. He had a relationship with them, and he gave them themselves and showed forth just how a true Christian nature, and not just, "I'm going to tell you this and you better believe it," and that's it. He actually had a relationship with them and was a human and was empathetic to them and gave himself as well. And he said, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God." And so, honestly, all that we have to do is preach the word, because as it's stated in, I forget which book it is, but the parable of the sower, and how the sower went just to plant the seeds, and go, you know, that God gives the increase. And the hearts of men are different. And so, as you see in Acts chapter 13, I believe it is. In Acts chapter 13, what's going on here is Paul is preaching in Antioch, and there's a mixture of Jews and Gentiles there in the synagogue. And in verse 42, it says, "When the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought them that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against these things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." So the Jews, because they were envying, and because they were filled with so much emotion, they were no longer reasoning. And they were no longer taking in and receiving the word of God, because their hearts were wrong, because they were filled with envy, because they didn't want the Jews to have the salvation of God, because they felt like they were God's chosen people, so they're the only ones that have it. And so some hearts aren't going to be receptive to the word of God, and that is okay, because our job as Christians is simply just to plant the seed. And we know that hearts will turn, some hearts will turn, some will not, but ultimately it is God that gives the increase. And so inverting, I think, 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, Acts 17. Go back to Acts 17. We see what Paul preached to them. Acts 17, verse 3, saying, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And so, in order to be saved, you have to believe this. You have to hear it first. You have to hear it first, and then you have to believe it. You have to repent of your sins, and then change your mind, which leads to a change of action, and going from serving yourself and serving the will of men to serving the will of God. You have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized, and then live faithful. And once you can do that, then you can go out and be that advocate for Christ that Christ wants you to be. I know a guy up in Lovelady. He was just he went to camp all week, and then he was converted after camp. And everybody reasoned with him the whole week, and then on the way back home, they talked to him all the week, all that the car ride. And so, what was amazing about him was now he's so zealous and such a good advocate for the church or for Christ that he's already brought 2-3 of his friends. And he's continuing to be that encouragement and that light to others. And he couldn't have that before he was put on Christ in baptism. But now he has that hope within himself, which he puts out to others. And so if you are here and you need the invitation, come in and stand and sing.